Oh, this truly is a blessed time, isn't it? I'm so thankful I'm here. Thankful I want to be here. Psalm 139. This is a psalm of David, whom the Lord called a man after his own heart. And this is the outpouring of David's heart. And the outpouring of all of God's people's heart. All of God's people, like David, are men, women, young people, after God's own heart. They're in God's heart, in His love, in His mind, in His purpose, in His will, in His covenant. And He is in their hearts and mind. He thinks of them and loves them, and they think of Him and love Him. This is to God's people. The unbeliever can't enter into this. However, I hope the Lord will use this for someone that doesn't know the Lord to cause them to cry out with David, "Search me, O God. Lead me in the way everlasting." You know that David knows the Lord the way he begins this. "Oh, Lord." One time we went through the scripture and pointed out so many places where, "Oh." It just jumps out at you, doesn't it? "Oh, Lord." You know, men and women and young people take God's name in vain. "Oh, my God." Years ago, it was, "Oh, Lord." God's people, from the heart, they say, "Oh, Lord." Don't you? "Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, my God. When I with awesome wonder consider all the worlds I have made." Look at verse 4. "There's not a word in my tongue, but oh Lord, thou knowest it all together." Verse 17. "How precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God." Verse 23. "Search me, O God." Psalm 140, verse 1. "Deliver me, O Lord." Psalm 143. "Hear my prayer, O Lord." Isn't that what we cry? All the time. "Oh, Lord," he says, "thou hast searched me and known me. Oh, Lord, thou hast searched me and known me." He said through Amos, the prophet, in chapter 3, verse 2, to Amos, he said to the children of Israel, he said, "You only of all the families on earth have I known," meaning foreknown, "for whom he did fore." No, he did predestinate, call, justify, glorify. Foreknow, that means, no, "you have I known." That means love, foreordained, set his heart, his affection on you. He said, "I've engraved you on the palms of my hand." "You have I known." Remember, the first use of the word "know" is when Adam knew his wife Eve. It's the exact same word. It's the exact same word. That was it was an intimate bond and union where they were united in love. Their hearts beat as one, their minds, everything. Their lives were intertwined, weren't they? And they were literally, physically united, bonded together. This is what God says about his people, what David said. "You've known me. Known me." The Lord knows. He knows. You know your mate, don't you? Pretty well. After a while, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years, 72 years, you know that person, don't you? You know the inside out. It's pretty much what, I kind of resent it sometimes, and he said, "I know what you're thinking." You do not. Oh, yes, he does too. After a while, that much more our Lord knows us. We know our children, don't we? We know them. I know them. They are us. They come from us. We know all about them. They don't think we do. We do. Look at right above this, Psalm 138, verse 6. "Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. But the proud he knoweth far off." He knows everything about every human being, but this knowledge of them is not an intimate union in love. He knows them far off. In other words, keeps them at arm's length. But God's people, not arm's length. We don't see that. He's got his hand on. Verse 2, thou knowest my down sitting and mine upright. You know when I sit down? You know when I get up? You know when I go out? You know when I come in? You know where I go? Now, these thoughts should produce in us two things. Number one, fear. Shouldn't it? Fear. Secondly, relief. Comfort. Fear and peace. He knows us. He knows us. And he's going to go on to tell what all he knows about us. But this should produce fear that what we do and what we say and what we think is in God's sight, God's ears, God's eyes. And if we love him, we won't want to dishonor him, will we? But he says, you know my sitting down, my uprising, you understand my thought far off. This is what made Simon Peter hit his knees in that ship that day, wasn't it? He didn't know the Lord yet. But when the Lord called him and got in his ship and went out there into the deep, and he saw the glory of the Lord in the depth, like Psalm 107. And when he saw that the Lord knew every fish in that sea, he thought, he knows every thought in my head. And that's when he hit his knees to the Lord. And he didn't know who he was before, but he called him Lord. And he said, depart from me, O Lord. I'm a sinful man. No, Simon. I've come for you. Not departing. I will never depart. That's why I came with him. He came for the likes of Simon Peter, a friend of publican and sin. You know my thoughts afar off. Verse 3, thou compassest my path and my lying down. Thou compassest, it's an old Bible word. It's a good one. It means a couple of things, actually. Turn to Psalm 5. We keep looking at this, and we need to so much more in this day. Psalm 5. Compass, as you know, means to surround. Lord, you've got me surrounded. That's good. I need surrounding. Psalm 5, verse 12. Thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. How many times does it say the Lord is our shield? And how many times does it say he's compassed it? Psalm 32. Go over there real quickly. Psalm 32. I could show you many scriptures. But Psalm 32, Psalm 32. We looked at that, didn't we? Verse 7. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me with songs of deliverance. Verse 10. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. The psalm of the shepherd, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Not only follow you, but before you. And on your right hand and on your left hand. He compasses. And did you see in the margin what it said, the word compass? Winnowest. You got to see this. Ruth, go over to the book of Ruth, right after Judges. There's a little book of Ruth, right before Samuel. I just was so blessed at this. Made me want to go through the book of Ruth again. But thou winnowest, he said. He compassest my path. He winnowest my path as a fan that winnows the wheat and separates the chaff from the wheat. The old you know, it's a way that they used to sift wheat. That's winnowing, the threshing floor. Well, look at this, Ruth chapter 3. Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to Ruth, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? Now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast?" She was with them and didn't know him. "Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor." That's what he's doing right now. "Oh, may I be wheat and not chaff." This word does that. Separates the sheep from the goat. "Tonight, wash yourself, therefore, anoint thee, put your raiment upon thee, get thee down to the floor. Make not thyself known unto the man till he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be when he lieth down that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie. Thou shalt go in, uncover his feet, and lay thee down. And he'll tell thee what thou shalt do." He's winnowing barley tonight. Barley is poor man's grain. You know that? Poor man's grain. The poor and needy. That's me. That's you. And go back to the psalm. He compasses. He winnows us. Oh, Lord, thresh me. Take away the dross, chaff. Psalm 139, verse 3. "You're acquainted. Thou art acquainted with all my ways." Acquainted with all my ways. Go to John chapter 1. You'll love this. He knows us. Our down sitting, our uprising, our lying down, our going out, our coming in. In this story in John chapter 1, the Lord was calling his disciples. Okay? Verse 43. You have it? John 1, 43. He's calling out his disciples. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, "Follow me." And now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, "We found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said unto him, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip saith unto him, "Come and see." Now Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." And Nathanael said unto him, "Whence knowest thou me?" He answered and said unto him, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." And Nathanael answered and said, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel." "Before, when you were sitting under that tree, I saw it." He planted that tree for Nathanael to sit under. It's like old Zacchaeus. The Lord planted that sycamore for him to climb up. But this just astounded Nathanael. "How do you know me?" "Well, you were sitting under that tree, I saw you. And I called you." That's us. That's us. Go back to our text. He says in verse 4, "There's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether." Oh my. That's a fearful and yet a wonderful thing. Fearful. Ecclesiastes says, "God is in heaven. Thou art upon the earth. Therefore let your words be few. Be not hasty to utter anything before the Lord." God's in heaven. You're upon the earth. Let your words be few. James said, "Be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger." He knows. He hears us. He hears us. One time, well, in the scripture it said, "A man shall be held accountable for every idle word that he speaks." Our Lord said, "By your words you'll be justified, by your words you'll be condemned." Whew, that's frightening, isn't it? Aren't you thankful for the blood of Christ? Because God's people are not going to be held accountable for every idle word. Mm-mm. The blood of Christ put away those sins. Nevertheless, He knows what we're saying. So this is why David said, "Lord, put a watch over my lips," didn't it? Better watch over there. But this is both a blessed thing. Romans 8 says we cry, Abba, Father, and sometimes we don't know what to say, and it's like the babbling, like the groaning, like the of a child. Remember when your children were little babies and they were trying to be, you knew what they were saying. But Sophie was a talker from the very outset. From the very beginning. She, it didn't make, but her mama knew exactly what she was saying. And so does our Lord. Not a word in our mouth. We don't know how to say it. I have a friend in here that's all the time say, don't know how to say what I'm trying to say. But we know what you're trying to say, because we all feel the same way. Don't know how to express ourselves. We don't have to. David said, all my groanings are before you. Often in prayer, all I can do is just, don't you? Just groan. He knows. He knows what all that means. Not a word in my mouth you don't know altogether. Verse 5, you set me behind and before. You beset me behind and before. That means, the word beset means you've confined me. You confined me. Beset me behind and before. I was in my boat the other day, canoe. There was a spider. There's a big spider in that boat. I'm out in the lake. And he's darting here, darting there, so I'm doing this. I would go over here. You ever done that? He couldn't go where he wanted to go. I was besetting him. That's what he does do. Aren't you glad? Huh? I'm going over here. No, stop. Stop. Well, here I go over here. No, stop. He might let you. See? Beset me tonight. Laid his hand on it. Look at that. He laid thine hand upon me. Do you remember when your father, when you were a little child, your father, when you were upset or troubled or whatever, your father would lay his hand on you. Put his hand on his shoulder, big hand. And, son or honey, it's all right. It just soothed you then. Or your husband, your wife, a touch. There's something special about touching. Our Lord touches it in that same way. He puts his hand upon it to ensure us. To reassure us that who He is and His love and mercy and grace upon us. He's laid your hand upon me. Verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's high, I cannot attain unto it. For as Paul said in Romans 11, oh, I love this. Oh, the depths. I want to misquote it. Love it. Psalm 111, verse 33 says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgment and His ways past finding out. Oh, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Verse 7, whither shall I go from Thy Spirit? Or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? Well, David, why would you want to flee? Well, do you want to flee, David? Sometime. I remember as a young child, I guess every child at some time, maybe not all, but little boys perhaps. I remember one time thinking that they just don't love me. I'm just going to run away from home. My brother did run away from home. He was 16 years old. They didn't know where he was for 2 months. You talk about breaking his parents' heart. They did not know where he was for 2 months. Well, I wanted to do that too. Thank God He didn't let me. But I wanted to. It's just selfishness, isn't it? Oh, poor me. Oh, woe is me. I'm leaving. Thinking, yeah, I'll go out there. I'll be my own person. Now I know. I'd rather stay home. Oh, my. Why would you flee, David? Well, if you did, you can't get away from Him. Look at verse 8. If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. Brother Stephen read from Micah chapter 4 tonight about the mountain of the Lord, the mountain of the Lord's house. We come up to Mount Zion. Now, we leave the slime pits of Egypt, and the Lord, we ascend up into His holy hill of Zion. Now, when we come here, we ascend. And it's, the Lord is with us, like Psalm 46. God's in the midst of us. He is here. But what about when I hit rock bottom? And I've been there. You've been there. What about when I hit rock bottom? He's there. He's there. Mindy reminded me when you had open heart surgery. Her father had open heart surgery. And everyone that's had that has said that you go through a time of deep, dark depression. Right? You feel like you're down in a dark pit. Well, the Lord was there. Pulled you out of it, didn't? You're there. Aren't you glad? Oh my. If I take the wings of the morning, verse 9, fly away, gone with the wind. That was me. Literally, I told you, I was 21 years old. I was on a sailing ship out in the ocean. In some storms. Oh, the Lord had His hand on me right there. Fleeing. If I dwell in uttermost parts of the sea, verse 10, even there shall thy hand lead me. Oh, He did, He did, He did. He led me back to Himself. Even there shall thy right hand, that's Christ, He's the hand of God in the right arm, gotten the victory, shall hold me. He has a hold of me. He has hold of me. I remember when my daughter and our granddaughters, when they were very, very young, you know, you just did not trust their judgment around the street or places. And I would never let them out of my sight. It would never, whenever we crossed, I had strong hold on them, not going to let go. Now that's our God. He has hold of it. He owns us. Read on. He says, verse 11, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. The darkness shall cover me. Have you ever felt like you wanted to be alone in the dark? All of us have. You just want to be alone. Well, no, you don't. No, you don't. You're alone with that old fella that's in you, that's bad company. He'll drag you down into the dust, into the depth, into the dirt. Yes, he will. Because he only loves himself. Nobody else. You don't want to be alone. Well, the Lord, surely the darkness, no. Or a deep, dark pit like we were talking about. We all get into those dark times and dark pits. Thank God he's there. Verse 12. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee. The night shineth as the day. The darkness and light are both alike to thee. Or as Hagar said. Hagar thought she was a goner and thought that Ishmael, her son, was a goner. Didn't she? And she was thought they were going to die. And she said, thou, Lord, seest me. And the Lord led them both. Said, turn around, Hagar. And it was a well of water right there. Now drink up. It's okay. I'm with you. Verse 13. Thou hast possessed my reins. We looked Sunday at a stronger than Satan. A strong man's arm keeps his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes, what he does is he comes and takes captivity captive. Our Lord, through the preaching of the gospel, by his Holy Spirit, comes to one that is held captive by Satan at his will, but by the will of God, by the mercy and grace of God, by the gospel of God, by the word of God, by the power of God, in the mercy of God, he comes and said, arrest that man. Lay hold of it. Take it. He's mine. Then you're possessed. Then you're possessed by the right person. And from then on, you're led by the Spirit of God. Possessed by the Spirit. You're not your own. God's people are not their own. They're bought with a price. He possesses us. He possesses our reins. That's our innermost being, our soul. Oh, I'm so thankful. Aren't you? He owns me. He owns me. He rules over me. That's what I want him to do. Reign and rule over me. Verse 13, you covered me in my mother's womb. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. How many times does the Lord have to tell us He's our shield? He's our hiding place. He's our under His wings. He covers us. What do we have to worry about? Nothing. Nothing. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. Whom shall I be afraid? He covered us. He always has. He carries us from the womb to our hoary head. He carries us. He covers us. He owns us. He possesses us. He holds on to us. He leads us. He heads us to the back. Yes, He does. God can't lie. This is God's Word. I'm not making this up. This is God's Word. Rest. Peace. Peace be unto thee. He possessed me from my mother's womb. Verse 14, I will praise thee. And they start thinking about how he was made. Oh, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. You see, God is our creator. If God, and he is our creator. If God is our creator, that means he owns us. He's the potter. We're the clay. Cannot the potter do with his own what he will? Yes. I used to have a potter's wheel. And I made things. If I didn't like it, a vessel, I cast it out. If I liked it, I kept it. That's exactly what the Lord said. He's the potter. We're the clay. He's made us. He's made everyone. He deserves everyone's worship. Everyone's thanksgiving. His tender mercies are over all his work. He feeds, clothes everyone. Though they don't know him. Though he doesn't know them. But they should worship him. And they God holds them accountable for their unbelief and ingratitude. But God, in mercy, made himself known to them. And this is the first way he makes himself known, like Hebrews 11. We understand that the things that are made are not made of things that are seen. By faith, we understand that. John 1 talks about Christ. In the beginning was the Word. He made everything. That this Lord Jesus Christ, this man, is not just a man. He's our creator. Alright, then we're made new creatures in Christ, born again, born of God, of His own will begat He us with the word of truth. We're born, made of Him. We're His creature. He owns us. Everything about us, He owns it. And He's created everything about us. Read on. He says, I'm wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thou, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance, as they were being fashioned, before there was none of them. They were all ordained of God, purposed of God, down to the very hairs of our head. Now that's something. That's why I said, such knowledge is too wonderful, man. Alright, and we've looked at this before, brethren. If the hairs of our head are numbered, if God takes care of the least thing, that most insignificant thing, what about the big thing? Trust the Lord. Rest. Everything about us is ordained, ordered. Our lives are in His book and it's sealed. And nothing can change it. And the end is good. It's great. It's wonderful. It far exceeds anything you can imagine. Verse 17. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. You know, when somebody just thinks of you, it's special. When somebody does something and sends you a card or calls you or does something for you and you think, that's so thoughtful. I appreciate you thinking of me. Don't you say that? Something unexpected? You were thinking of me? That's wonderful. David says, that God, what is man that he's mindful of us, that would visit us. And if you know yourself, you'd think, why would he ever take a man? But he does. All the time. David said, he can't, all the time. He never quits thinking about his people. Can he do that? He's got people as the stars of the sky and the sands of the sea. How can he think on every one of them? Because he's God. You know, some of you came from large families, 7 or 8 or 9 children. How in the world can you keep up with all? Well, you can. And our Lord, how much more? It's our God. He thinks on that. There's not a time that he's not thinking about it. There's not a moment of that. He doesn't forget us. We forget him, but he never forgets them. That's precious. Verse 18. If I should try to count them, they're more in number than in the sand. When I wake, I'm still with thee. I couldn't help but think of Psalm 73. David got in a bad way in Psalm 73. You know it, one of your favorites too. But David got in a bad way, and he was envious. He was fretful. He was worried. He thought, I've just cleansed my hands in vain. He said, all day, I'm plagued all the time. Look at these people. They don't have any problem. And he said, it's just painful for me. And he said, I went into the sanctuary. And Nathan got up and preached. Ah, so ashamed. And here's what he concluded. He said, it's like I woke up from a dream. I was like a beast. I was a beast. He said, I was grieved. My heart was pricked. I was so foolish. I was a beast. He said, I'm continually with thee. You've holden me by my right hand. You've guided me with your counsel. And afterwards, you're going to receive me up to glory. What am I? Quick. Why did I? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Trust, hope thou in God. I will yet praise him who's the help of my countenance. So, when I wake and when I go to sleep, he started this, when I sit down, when I lie down, when I get up, when I go out, God with me, God knows me. And when I wake up, oh, don't you love that? His mercies are new every morning. He's still with us. Still with him. Verse 19 through 22. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. And we looked before it where the Lord calls people wicked, Psalm 50 and other places. And it's just wicked to not thank God. It's wicked to not think of God who does all this for us. It's wicked. He need not do anything else that's wicked to be wicked other than just not being grateful. Not giving God a thought when God does so much for us. That's wicked. And he said that in Psalm 50. You that forget God, the wicked. And that was me. Never gave God a thought but God. So, verse 19, he will slay the wicked. Depart from me, therefore, you bloody men. And David was surrounded by... Boy, we live in a violent day, don't we? Brothers and sisters, guns and things like that don't protect us. You don't need a carry permit. You got a shield. Okay? There are bloody men all around. David was surrounded by them. They wanted him dead. And he wanted him dead. David wanted him dead. But it was the Lord with him. So that David might trust him. Verse 20. That they speak against thee wickedly. Thine enemies. They take thy name in vain. And brothers and sisters, doesn't that grieve you more than anything else? I mean, you look around. And all this that's going on today, it's despicable. It's awful. It sickens you, doesn't it? What people are doing to themselves and what society has become, it sickens you. But nothing more so than to hear God's name all the time. Does that bother you? Sure it does. It grieves us. I'd rather them say my mother's name. Wouldn't you? And religion is the worst. It got Jesus' name over here, Dale Earnhardt's over here on that bumper. That's despicable. They don't know Him. Don't know Him. Oh, and it's only by His grace that I do. We make mention His name is exalted now. We fear His name. We worship His holy name. They take His name in vain. It grieves me. Verse 21, do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate Thee? Am not I grieved with those that rise up against Thee? I hate them with perfect hatred, mature hatred. I count them mine enemies. As a verse of Scripture says, you that love the Lord, hate evil. Let's turn very quickly, Revelation 19, okay? And I may preach real soon on the word amen. You can go all the way through Revelation, and it's many, many, many times. Amen. For all of God's people, everything He says is like, amen. Would you like to hear a message on it? Well, look at this. Revelation 19. This is when God destroys everything and everyone. Verse 3. Again, they said, hallelujah, and our smoke rose up. That is the great whore, false religion. The world is burning. And the 24 elders and 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, amen, hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye His servants, ye that fear Him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, the voice of many waters, as the voice of mighty thunder, and said, hallelujah! The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. We're here. It's over. Amen. Hallelujah. No more sin. Amen to that. Oh, I hate Him with a perfect hatred. In that sense, I hate my sinful life. I hate myself. Don't you? I count them mine enemies. This old man in me is an enemy of God. And I hate him. I'm ready to be done with him. Aren't you? Now this is what every child of God said. He said, you have searched me. You know me. You know all about me. But keep searching. Verse 23, search me, O God. Know my heart. What he's saying is, expose it to me. Show it to me. Open it up to me. Try me. Oh, trials. Oh, trial of our faith. Work of patience, patience, experience, hope. And no chasing is pleasant, but yield a peaceable fruit of righteousness to them that are tried thereby. Peter and all through the Scriptures. Here, listen to this. Know this, that you're going through heaviness, through manifold temptations. Know this, that the trial of your faith is more precious than gold that perishes. Though it be tried with fire, your faith be tried with fire. It's going to be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. In whom, though now you see Him not, but you believe it, and you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, and you're going to receive the end of your faith. What's that? The salvation of your soul. He began that by saying, you're kept by the power of God. Lord, try me. I don't want to go through trials. Do you? We must. But David's hardest trial, Abraham's hardest trial when he was an old man. It's God's mercy. It's God's goodness. He will not let us get attached to this world. Try me. Know my thoughts. and see if there be any wicked way in me. He's not, you know, he's not saying, I don't know if there's any wicked. No. What he's saying is, show me my secret sin. Presumptuous sin. Remember when David said that? Cleanse me from secret sin, from presumptuous sin. Show me what I don't see. What you clearly see. Show me. And above all, and finally, lead me in the way everlasting. Lead me to Christ. I want to be found in Him. Not having my own righteousness, but found in Him. Jesus Christ, in that great day. Like the ark. Stand with them. O Lord, Thou hast searched us and known us and everything about us, and we are so glad. We're so glad that Thou art God. Beside Thee, there's none else. And You've made Yourself known unto us, and You've known us. Like You said to Israel of old, Thou of all the families on earth have I known. Oh Lord, thank You for choosing a people and calling them and revealing Yourself to them and in them. And oh Lord, thank You for this blessed thing called salvation. Thank You for Your word. In Christ's name, amen. You're dismissed.